As we've been going through a season to reflect on the greatest gift ever given to humanity, we started from the sovereign, God the Father. We also went from God the Father by His Spirit. And now I would like to talk to you, saints. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, believe it or not, you are therefore considered a saint, small s, okay? All saints are those who are willing to dedicate their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and have shown it through baptism and continues to live that life of displaying the gospel. They are called saints. So if you think you've qualified for that and you are a saint, this message is for you. In fact, if you think that you are a saint, do me a favor, give a wave. Are you a saint? Wave if you are a saint, brothers and sisters. Very good, very good. Many of us saints here, and for those of us who are not sure, let me put your mind to rest now. The greatest gift of all is indeed for Christians, is indeed for the saints. And we see this especially in a brother, a saint, small s, who has been waiting and waiting to see the salvation of the Lord, and when he saw it, he was ready to die. What an interesting interaction we see here. The question that I would like to bring before you today as we go through Luke chapter 2, verse 22 to 35 is, what can Christians celebrate for? What can Christians celebrate Christmas for? Christmas comes with all kinds of emotions. It's family gatherings, it's good food, you know, Australian chilled boneless lamb is on sale at only $79.99 per kilo. Go and do your math and figure out how much you need for your family. It's definitely much cheaper than turkey, you know. And somehow or another, the whole nation, especially Malaysia, thinks that Christmas must have turkey. And now, I tell you, the price sounds like it's like a Ponzi scheme going on in the background. One bird costing about 300 to 500 ringgit. Is that really what Christmas is for? Turkey? Is it about feast? For kids, of course, it's about presents. To be given gifts, even though it's not your birthday, it's Jesus' birthday. And that is a very interesting mystery that we should actually teach to our kids. That on a king's birthday, instead of we give a gift to him, he's giving a gift to you. And not because you deserve any of it. Interesting, right? So what are we celebrating for? I'd like to propose to you for this year, and for everyone here and those online, if you're considering to celebrate Christmas the way true Christians do, and not sing about White Christmas, Frosty the Snowman, Jingle Bells, or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, may I suggest to you three reasons or three things you can celebrate Christmas for. You can celebrate Christmas, okay, Christians, if you celebrate the fulfillment, the finale, and the future of Jesus. The fulfillment, the finale, and the future of Jesus. Yeah? Three Fs. I hope you never got three Fs in your exam results for the end of the year. Unlike myself sometimes, I shouldn't have taken AdMats. Yeah. But as we look at these three Fs, I hope it gives you confidence and hope as we read through the text, and we pray that the Holy Spirit speaks to you as we go through today's passage. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 35. Let me read it to you in whole first. We will return to it to figure out more of what is it that we can apply from the passage. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 35. Let me read to you from the NIV. It says here, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Lord's Savior. Some of us may think that Christ is Jesus' surname. It's not. Christ actually means Christos, Messiah, Savior. So they're waiting for the Lord's Savior. Verse 27, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give you praise for your word. Your word that has caused our brothers and sisters to take that step of faith and say, I decided to follow Jesus. We praise you, O God, for the ongoing work through your Holy Spirit. For as the soil gives seeds to sprout, so too does your word and your salvation sprout in our hearts. We ask, O God, for the same thing, that you would nourish and quench that which you have begun in our hearts today. Lord, for those who have yet to know you, for those of us here, Lord, who have yet to call you Savior and King, we pray that your word will speak to them today. Let them see of how you are the fulfillment, the finale, and the future. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First things first, Jesus is the fulfillment. The passage on the screen here is basically what I read. In verse 21, which I did not read earlier, it talks about the circumcision of Jesus at 8 days old. And for circumcision among the Jews, it represents two things. One is, it is the sign of Abraham. Yeah, it is the covenant of Abraham that through him all nations shall be blessed. And it is that time, at 8 days old, boys and girls will be given their name, which they will be called all the days of their lives. And that's where he was given the name Jesus. Now we know for a fact that the name Jesus was not merely given by Mary or Joseph. The angel of the Lord appeared before Mary and Joseph to confirm with them, to say, this child shall be named Jesus, Yeshua, which is the derivative from Yoshua, which means God saves. So Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord God saves, he is the Savior. A double affirmation there. Then 60 days later, we then come to verse 22, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, meaning to say that After the circumcision, Mary and the child are kept aside for 66 days. It's like confinement period. Yeah. Now, because of the law of Moses, it says that because Mary had given birth, there had been blood, bleeding, right? And because that is the bleeding, all right, the 66 days is to wait for the woman's cycle to be completed and cleaned, and so they can be presented clean before the Lord. So that's for Mary. Whereas for Jesus, because he was born of that blood outside of the womb, therefore he too needs to be consecrated before the Lord. It's a twofold thing. One is that it shows that Jesus had come not to abolish or break the law. He had come to fulfill the law. So many people think, does this verse then say that Jesus had sinned? The answer is no. There is a ceremonial uncleanness here which is not equivalent to sin, but it is a law that even from birth, God had destined for Jesus to fulfill, because he is the fulfillment of the law number one. Number two is consecration. So while Mary is going through purification, and Jesus as well, Jesus also is being brought for a consecration. Because in the desert, just as they came out of Egypt and on their way to the promised land, God spoke through Moses and told the people of Israel, consecrate your firstborn. Henceforth, all firstborns, not just boys, but every male donkey, male camel, male horse, male whatever animal that they had, there needs to be a consecration. Because it reminds them that the Lord delivered them by striking down the firstborn in all of Egypt. And those who went by faith and smeared blood on the doorposts in those days, they were, in fact, redeemed. So that's what the consecration means. Jesus therefore came to fulfill all of this law, and Jesus then becomes the finished work. He will be, and He is, the firstborn, the true new first Adam that has completed and fulfilled all that which we cannot do. I'd like to draw your attention to something beautiful I was pondering about. We see Joseph and Mary, according to the law, they were bringing two doves or two young pigeons. The thing about this is that if you have a good Bible, like an NIV, you will notice there is a footnote at the bottom there. And it says, refer to Leviticus chapter 12, verse 8. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 6 talks about the purification and the consecration of the mother and the firstborn. Chapter 12, verse 8 is a special dispensation or a special peruntukan or a special permission that if you cannot afford a lamb, you cannot afford a lamb because it's very expensive. I mean, go online, go to the shopping mall today. You know, one part of a lamb is already a few hundred bucks. God says, okay, I don't even need two chickens, which cost 17 ringgit. I just need two doves. It just proves that Joseph and Mary are of humble means. They can't afford. And Jesus was therefore born in humble means. People may wonder, therefore, how sad it would be for a born king to be born in this sort of level of poverty. But when Simeon saw Mary and the two doves and therefore the baby, he took the baby in his hands and started giving praise to God. Why? Because although Mary and Joseph thought they were only bringing two doves for their fulfillment of the law, they were actually also bringing the Lamb of Heaven. It's right there in Jesus. So if you remember the famous song, Mary, Did You Know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will someday walk on water? One of the lines there, Mary, did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect Lamb. She did not know yet, but as Simeon brought him up and praised the sovereign Lord that he is the fulfillment and the reconciliation of Gentiles and Israel of the world, Mary then remembered this in their heart and said, yes, that is the Lamb of God who will come to take away the sins of the world. Simeon was a regular man, but he was devout and righteous, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And the Holy Spirit told him that he will never die until he sees the Lord's Messiah. So therefore, his life would not be fulfilled day to day, meaning he will not accomplish his life at death until he sees the Lord's Messiah. There are two levels of fulfillment there, brothers and sisters, and I wonder if any of you are seeking fulfillment in either way. Some of us here come to Christmas in this season as a family obligation. I'm here to fulfill my family obligation. I don't normally come to church, but because it's Christmas, my mom and dad makes a big deal out of it. That's why I'm here. Plus, there'll be presents and ang bao even for me. Even though I'm a grown man, married, and two children, my parents will still give me presents. So I'll still come anyway. Some of you are still fulfilling that obligation. And maybe that also reflects in the rest of your life too. If you are a young person, and there are some days you know that you're going into work just to fulfill an obligation, it's not necessary because you like the job. So it's one thing to take in your career, it's another thing to take it on your family. But it's also another thing to take it upon your life. Do you feel sometimes that you're living because you feel obliged just to live? I'm not yet dead. I cannot kill myself. Might as well live lah. And when we live that way, we end up living in two different ways. Either in great depression, saying, when, oh Lord, will you take me? Or another one is that, okay, you know what? I don't care what happens when I die. I might as well live what I have now to the fullest. And then you go on into a cycle of vices that we wish that we can only keep it in our college albums, but Facebook is now available to everyone, and everybody knows. Mary might not know, but God knows. Friends, what is your life's fulfillment? What is drawing you to live? Mary, from a young age, was given this great task that her life now is fulfilled in being the mother of Jesus, to provide that space and place for him to grow physically, which is suffering in my opinion. You are the Son of God, fully able to create the heavens and the earth, and yet now you're born a baby and then to grow into it. Mary's job, therefore, is to ensure that the lamb was ready when it was time for him to be sacrificed. At the other side, we have Simeon. He's called to live an everyday life, but he was called to live a righteous and devout life. All of us saints here will know, and we're not going to sugarcoat it, brothers and sisters, that living a devout and righteous life is hard. It's difficult. From young and even until old, you know? Some of you older gentlemen, your friend's tee off time was at 7:30 this morning. It will take you 4 hours. You'll never make it to church on time. So guess what? You're here. And you're wondering, ayo, I could have polished up on my handicap. Or actually, I could have spent more time at the market and look at the closer deals between which apple is cheaper. But here you are. I want to recognize that is difficult. But it becomes less difficult when you realize what is the fulfillment of you coming here. What is your motive to be here? Friends, if it's pushed by social or personal obligation, then no wonder we are dragging our feet. I pray to you, my dear friends, that we will have a new attitude towards this. Because Simeon was waiting devoutly, righteously, and Mary was bringing up the baby with great consideration and thoughtfulness, and they did not feel tired at all at life because they were waiting for the fulfillment of their entire lives. And so when Simeon saw Jesus, and when Mary was presented and was revealed to her, of how this is the Lamb that will take away the sins of the world, they realize that their life is then filled with the purposeful fulfillment of Jesus Christ. If you live on your own as an obligation to God, it's going to feel draggy. If you live because you realize Jesus has fulfilled everything for you, for your future, then it's a whole different step altogether. Friends, what is your life's fulfillment? I hope your fulfillment is therefore in Christ. Secondly, Jesus is the finale. The great finale for all of the world. In the passage here, let me read it for you. It says here, It had been revealed to him by him, Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple court, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him with what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace." Pause there for a moment. He was so happy to know that he was going to die. Actually, that's not true. He was so happy that even though that he is going to die, it's okay. Think about that. Have you ever had that thought in your life, especially in your 20s? I haven't. Even now at 36, it's okay. Imagine, looking forward to die. Huh? Unless that finale of our lives is contingent to the finale that Jesus has given. And so many of us will read this text and will wonder, wow, Simeon, how are you looking forward to die in this way? Here's what he says, and in his song, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people, Israel." This passage here is basically the summation of the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah, where this Savior will unite Jew and Gentile. Is this new? No, of course not. From Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12, it says, "Through you, all nations will be blessed." So Israel was chosen not to only receive all the blessing. No, it was not. They were chosen to be a catalyst for the blessing of the world. And they have failed. They have failed. When Jesus came into the picture, he becomes the end of that stigma, and the beginning of a new ending. The beginning of a new finale that those of us who are in Christ Jesus are now reconciled back with God. And what a beautiful finale it is. Because it means that it was 50-50, in fact, not really, it was 100% sure that with our own righteousness, our finale will never be complete. Our finale will never be the best. Because we're human. And because we are human, we have error. And because of our error, we will never fulfill the goodness of God. Jesus came into the picture, though he did not need to do any of this. He had come to be the new finale. John Calvin says it in this way: "The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men can then be adopted to be sons of God." Our finale as children of mankind full of sin and evil was to be judged by God and be living a Christless eternity, or what we will call hell. And so Simeon, waiting for the end of the day where he thought, as a Jew, he had 50-50 and he served a righteous and devout life, but he also recognized that he needs a Savior, and thankfully the Holy Spirit told him, "Okay, don't worry, you will not die until you see the salvation of the world, and then he sees Jesus, and finally he says, "Oh, thank God. My finale is now different. It's no longer a 50-50, not sure to enter into the place of God. It is a finale," and says, "Lord, thank you. You may take me now because you have completed it." And not only will you complete this, this finale, this new finale, will affect the entire world to be the light of revelation to the Gentiles and to give glory to your people, Israel. We will end up becoming one with Christ. What needs to be done to be that one with Christ? What needs to be done to have that finale? Friends, may I consider to you, reconcile. And with that strength of reconciliation with God, we can then begin to reconcile with one another as brothers and sisters, as family members, though we were estranged for years and years and years. All those advertisements of family gathering together, despite their differences and despite their strife against one another, can only make sense when there was a greater reconciliation happening in the background, the reason for their gathering. And therefore, before we could reconcile with one another, God first reconciled us back to Him. That's why we can step in now in this new finale as children of God. Friends, what does your finale look like? Young people, have you planned your finale? What would that look like? Is it to retire at 58 years old with 6 million in your pension fund and a comprehensive and diverse portfolio to live off your passive income and live happily ever after? Is that your hope? And have you seen the economy recently? Looks better, sorta, but not really. I don't know. And that's a scary thing, right? We don't know. Gen Y is now facing this bread and butter issue because during COVID, we were working, and at that time where we were supposed to peak at our career, work from home, a lot of us got fired, a lot of us had to empty our EPF. It's terrible. So are you sure that that is the route that you want to take? And for the older brothers and sisters here, as you are a little closer to the finale than us, you may think who you are. How does it look so far? If you are doing things on your own, and I guarantee you, you will say, oh, it's not anything as I could have imagined. Sometimes better, sometimes worse. It may be better more often, but it's still a lot of worse. Friends, may I invite you into this eternal finale? And that is, whatever happens in this world, Jesus wins, and we will win with Him when we believe in Him. Simeon, in living that righteous life, that good life, did not think that his life enabled him to heaven. That's why he was never able to pray what he then said. But when he saw Jesus, only then he can say, Sovereign Lord, take me now, because I know that you will fulfill all things through this Lamb of God. He is the fulfillment, He is the finale, and finally, He is the future. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Why did they marvel? Did they not know already? Mary, did you know? Mary, did you not know already that when an angel told you, you know, he shall be great and be called the Son of the Most High God? The Lord will give him the seat of his father David, and his kingdom shall know no end. Then Simeon comes in. Why would they marvel? They marvel because Jesus is slowly becoming a reality that not only was a theoretical vision of their future, it has now become their certain future. That now through their child, through that child Jesus Christ, they now have a future beyond their poverty. They now have a future beyond their humility. They have a future beyond their suffering. But there will be suffering still. Interesting how Simeon blessed them. Here's what he said. He told Mary this. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. You know what that means? People will look at Jesus and will end up choosing either, yes, I will follow you, or no, I think you are a quack. I think you are crazy. And the division actually even began, not at 30 years old, but even at 12 years old, when he was presented to the temple for bar mitzvah, his coming to manhood, he was already debating with priests and Levites in the temple courts. And so Mary says, you know, what are you doing here? We were so worried because he ran away back to the temple. Was he disobedient to his father and mother? He was honoring, but he did what he was supposed to do, because then Jesus said, did you not know I have to be at my father's house? So even he, from young age, knew that his true father is the Almighty God and to him he will do all that God the Father commands. So this child, and because of that, we see a split thought. And I wonder, which future are you choosing? Are you choosing a future without Christ, to regard him merely as a legend or a mythical figure or a philosophical thought? Or are you going to take him and live a future with Christ, exactly who he claims to be? Savior, Lord, God, who had shown his Godship in his death and resurrection. We are celebrating a living birthday in Christmas, and that he will come again very soon. Moving on, verse 35, let me finish this up. So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. You know, it's interesting, when Jesus comes into the picture in his holiness and goodness, we become really like blemished loincloths. We become stained satin. We become dirty drapes next to the pure white goodness, purity of Jesus. And that's where the trueness of our heart comes up. Friends, if you commit Jesus to your future, let me tell you this, everything in your heart will be revealed. Because in order to reconcile, we need to know the differences in order to come back together. The one big thing is that for a long time, you thought you were the God of your own life. And now we are called to submit to the one true God who has graciously given us this new life in his son Jesus. And it's going to be a little painful. It goes on to say in verse 35, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Simeon was speaking in this part of the passage in two levels. One is, of course, the pain of a mother. Mothers here, imagine your son, your child, being beaten, flogged, bled, crucified on the cross to death. Mary, the mother, was there. And she could have wailed and begged and pleaded, please don't do this, don't do this. But she allowed her heart to be pierced, because what Jesus is doing is not just for the mother, it's for everyone. And therefore, the mother had to go against her own natural instinct and say, let my son die. Let the child that I gave birth to and grow, let him die. Because in his death, we will have life. The second level of this is this. In order to appreciate the gift of Jesus Christ, dear saints, we have to recognize how it should pierce our heart too. Because the birth of Jesus, just like all of us, the moment we are born, we're destined to die. When Jesus was born into this world, he too was already destined to die. And his death will be for us. He could have chosen any form of death. But the death that he chose is the death that will fulfill and give life, new life, to us all. So that truly what John Calvin says to be true, the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men can be the sons of God. And we see that being depicted in our baptism. So very timely, we saw what it means to have a future in Jesus. That our old life is no more. We buried it. He is no more. We then rise with Jesus, we have this new life, and in that, a future and a hope. Friends, what does your future hold? Everything on this earth, my dear friends, is short term. Because what is 100 years on this earth compared to eternity with God? 100 years compared to eternity with God is like a small fragment of a thread next to the eternal line, rope of God. So what does your future hold? Young people especially, we need to think beyond our 20, 30, 40 years we have ahead of us and think about this future that we must have in Christ. Because without Christ, our future is very short, and the eternity afterwards is disastrous. But if our future is in Christ Jesus, whatever happens in this world, therefore, just as it happened to Mary, just as it will happen to Simeon, he will die. And you know what? It's okay. Because in Christ, we then have this new life. Friends, the new gift of Jesus, the gift of Jesus is the greatest gift for you because it gives you a certain future for all eternity. And bandingkan and comparing it to all the days that you have lived on this earth, that will be nothing compared to what you will have in Christ forever. And it began, the beginning of that new ending, the beginning of that new future, began at the birth of Jesus as we celebrate Him today. At Christmas, dear saints, let us now celebrate Christ the fulfillment, Christ the finale, even though it may look like, oh, new beginning. No, it's the beginning of that new finale, the new ending, and now the future that we have together. Let us celebrate Christ's fulfillment to the finale so that we may have a future. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you praise, you, the greatest gift. Because in this gift, O Lord, you have fulfilled all debts, all spiritual and eternal debts that we owe unto you. And therefore, we come before you in the clean slate as we put our trust in Jesus. Lord, we thank you that as Mary went to the temple, you didn't see her in her sin. You didn't see the two doves, which is a meager atoning sacrifice. But you saw the Lamb, your Son, to take away the sins of the world. Lord, we thank you, O Lord, that you have now written a new finale where there will be no more conflict or strife, there will be no wars or separations. But Lord, you give us a new finale where we are now reconciled back to you. We remember, O Lord, on that day, the vision that you gave to John, where on that final day, we will come to your throne of grace and we will celebrate salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. And it will be in every tongue of every tribe and every nation in this world. Thank you, O Lord, that you finished what Israel did not, and you finish it with love and reconciliation, and not with war and strife. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for the future that you give us, so that we may be called children of God. And therefore, our future is very different when we saints put our trust in you. Lord, I plead with you that there are those among here in this congregation, those watching online, that you will knock on the hearts of knock on the doors of their hearts, that through your Holy Spirit, you help them realize that that's the future that I want. That is the finale I've been looking for, and that's the fulfillment I need because I tried doing it myself and it's useless. But with you, O God, all things are completed in perfection. If that's you, my dear brothers and sisters, my dear friends, if you had that pondered and prodding, can I ask you this favor? Go to your neighbor or go to the friend that invited you here today and say, I want to take Jesus seriously. I want to find out more. I want to see I want to go to Christianity Explore and explore more about the faith. Well, I want to take Jesus seriously now. Can you lead me that I may pray and believe that I am redeemed by the Lord Jesus? Do that. And if you're online, type it out. DM us. Maybe on our website or via our social media. DM us so that we may reach out to you and have you come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Lord, we give you thanks for the mysterious and miraculous work of your Holy Spirit. And now as we celebrate you, Jesus, our beautiful Savior, we ask that we remember how you fulfill us in your finale, that we may now have a future with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.